Good morning, and welcome again to University Presbyterian Church. This morning, as we turn our attention towards the Word of the Lord, I want to invite you to open in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. We're continuing our study in the book of Titus by looking at the book of Acts. We're in the middle of kind of a series within a series as we consider the role of officers in the Church of Christ. Last week you'll remember that Paul laid out for us in Titus chapter 1 both the importance and the character of both elders and deacons. In that lengthy passage, what he doesn't tell us is what the role, what the duties of these men are. And to that end, I want us to turn our attention this morning to Acts chapter 6. As we consider why it is that God has established two separate offices in the church, how these officers, elders and deacons, are to relate to one another and to the larger, broader body of Christ. Acts chapter 6, I'll read this morning the first seven verses. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, those are Greek-speaking Jews, arose against the Hebrews, that is Aramaic-speaking Jews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parnesius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came not to be served, but to serve. And that you laid your life down as the great shepherd of your sheep. We pray this morning that even as we think about the role of elders and deacons, that our gaze would be lifted towards you, and that our hearts would meditate upon you, the great servant, the great shepherd, who has poured your life out for the sake of your bride, the church. We ask this in your name. Amen. As we turn our attention here to the very beginning of Acts, we see the church in its infancy, in some of its earliest days. And at the very beginning, what we notice is that it was Peter and the rest of the apostles who constituted the first official elders in the church. Even as Ben just read to us from John chapter 21, you could think back, and as Paul talks about the need for an elder to be above reproach. And as you and I move away from last week's passage and reflect upon our own life, I think we gain great confidence, great assurance in Jesus' words to Peter on the bank of that shore. A man who would deny Jesus three times in the midst of his crucifixion, who has turned his back upon Jesus. And Jesus, in all of his mercy and all of his grace, moving towards this man, moving towards you and I, 3 times asking Peter, "Do you love me?" "Lord, you know I do." And 3 times commissioning Peter, "Feed my flock. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep." The 12, as Luke calls them here in this passage, served as the very first shepherds of the church. They were responsible in the early days not only for the teaching and the overall pastoral care of the congregation, but they are also responsible for the collection of funds and the distribution of those funds. In Acts chapter 5, only a few verses before this, we read how different members of the church sold property, laid the proceeds of those sales at the apostles' feet in order to care for the needs of the poor. The apostles served both the spiritual needs of the church and sought to meet the physical needs that arose within the body of Christ. But there is a problem, a really good problem. The church was growing fast. Thousands were being added to their number on a daily basis. The Spirit of God was at work in Jerusalem in a mighty way. And the church was growing in both size, but it was also changing in demographics. Hellenistic Jews, immigrants who had moved into Jerusalem, were now brought into the body of Christ. They spoke a different language, observed different customs, held different values from their Aramaic-speaking brothers and sisters. And any organization that grows rapidly, that changes demographically, is going to face challenges. And the church in Jerusalem faced an enormous crisis. The church, to its credit, was generous. People gave sacrificially. But there was injustice in the way that the food, the way that the aid was distributed. Some widows were cared for, while others were overlooked. Particularly the needs of these Hellenistic widows was being ignored. They were being passed over. This was the first test that the Christian church really faced. How would it respond to this crisis? A crisis of injustice. Not only was the care of a few particular widows at stake, but the unity and the public witness of the church was on the line. Something had to be done. And it's into that context that the apostles act. The apostles, the 12, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, had a solution. You'll notice this if you look down at verse 12. They summoned the full number of the disciples, and they said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching and teaching in order to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." The disciples addressed the problem head on. They recommended that 7 godly men, full of the Spirit, be appointed to oversee this particular work. First, the disciples realized that this was an important issue. They didn't overlook it. They acknowledged that real injustice had been done and that the church must act. It must rectify the situation. The body of Christ must care for the poor that were in their midst. They must do something and rid themselves of all favoritism, prejudice, and partiality. But the apostles also recognized that they were not called to devote their time and their energy to this particular task. If they did, they would end up neglecting the very thing that the Lord had called them to do, to commit themselves towards a ministry of teaching and prayer. This leads to the appointment of the very first deacons. The seven, as Luke calls them here, served the apostles and served the congregation, particularly by managing the collections, the distribution of funds, and caring for the most vulnerable, the widows, the orphans, the foreigners in their midst. This pattern sets up the pattern for the rest of the New Testament church. Every church from this point forward, as the gospel went out from Jerusalem, would follow the same pattern. A church led by a plurality of both elders and deacons. Elders are shepherds who oversee the flock of Christ. And deacons are servants who care for the physical needs of the flock. Both are spiritual offices. Both require godly men who have been examined, who are full of the Spirit. Both elders and deacons are seen in the New Testament at carrying out the work of evangelism, the work of preaching. But yet they hold distinct offices. Elders, on the one hand, called to shepherd and oversee the flock of Christ, and deacons called to serve and to care for the physical needs of the body. I want to unpack this a little more. An elder is a shepherd who is called to oversee the flock of Christ. As we already noted, in the earliest stages of the church, the apostles themselves were the elders for the church in Jerusalem. But as the church began to expand, as it moved from Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria to all across the world, the elders weren't able to be in every town, and so everywhere they went, they appointed elders to shepherd, to oversee the flock of Christ. We gain perhaps the clearest picture of this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Even as we already have those words of Jesus to Peter ringing in our ear, "Feed my flock, shepherd my sheep." Consider the words that this same man, the Apostle Peter, would write to a different group of elders many years later. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, we read, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those who are in your charge, but being examples to the flock." Three terms are used throughout the New Testament to describe the office of elder. They're used interchangeably. Elder, or presbyteros in Greek. Overseer, or episkopos in Greek. Or shepherd, or as we more frequently call it in English, pastor. To be a presbyter, an elder, to be an overseer, or a episkopos, a bishop, or to be a shepherd, that is a pastor, in New Testament terminology are not three different offices, but rather they are three different ways to speak about the same office. Elders who are called above all to be shepherds, who have a particular task to oversee the flock of Christ. It's important for us to remember, particularly as we use within our own language, the distinction between pastor and elder. It's language that the New Testament authors never use. In the language of the New Testament, to be a elder is to be a pastor, to be a shepherd of the flock of Christ. Now, no doubt, within the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 5 makes a distinction. He says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." In Paul's mind, he has three different categories. First, those elders who rule, that is, those men who have been elected to this office and who faithfully execute those duties. But second, he singles out elders who rule well, elders who have a particularly acute skill at shepherding, at management, at care. But third, he distinguishes those elders who labor in preaching and teaching. Within the PCA, within our own polity, we make a distinction between what we call ruling elders, or in our own language, what you typically call elders, and teaching elders, what we more often call pastors. But all of these men, ruling elders and teaching elders, John and Ben and I, along with all of the elders of this church, collectively are shepherds. Shepherds who are collectively called to oversee the flock of Christ. As teaching elder, I have no more authority, no more responsibility than the other elders in this church, but rather I've been set aside for a unique role, for the regular preaching and teaching of God's Word. When we look at the book of Acts, we see that these elders, these shepherds, were called to a very unique, a very specific task. The task of caring for the flock of Christ. And Jesus gave these men two tools, rather simple tools, the Word and prayer. How? How do we, as shepherds, care for the sheep? Jesus has only given us, brothers, two tools. The Word, the declaration of that Word, not only from this pulpit, not only when it's read on Sunday mornings, but in our conversations, in our day-to-day ministries, and prayer. The power of prayer. Perhaps there is no more powerful tool that Christ has given to the elders of His church. There's no greater privilege that Christ has given to the elders of His church than to pray. It's interesting, isn't it? There were tangible needs, a real crisis in the church in Jerusalem. Something had to be done. Somebody had to put their time, their energy, their passion, their creativity towards solving this problem. Waiting tables. It was a high, a noble, and a valuable calling. But the apostles recognized they had to protect their time. Their calling, their mission was to pray for the flock of Christ. How highly do we as a congregation, how highly do you as elders value prayer? It's a question that I've had to wrestle with this week. Do I believe in the power, the efficacy of prayer? Do I hold on to this as the greatest tool the Lord has given me in shepherding, in caring for, in nurturing the flock of Christ? Brothers and sisters, there is power in prayer. We see that in the care that the elders in Jerusalem, that the apostles give to guarding that. They will not be distracted from their labor, their ministry of prayer. But indeed, there are other things, very tangible, very important things that must be dealt with in order for the body of Christ to flourish, in order for the gospel to go forward. And particularly in the context of Acts chapter 6, we see that there was the necessity to see that aid, that food was distributed in an equitable and in a just fashion. Not only was it necessary for the church to devote themselves to sound doctrine, to devote themselves to prayer, but it was necessary for this church, it is necessary for our church to devote themselves to the care of the poor. The church's marvelous display of love was threatened by discrimination. And courageously, the apostles assumed full responsibility for the problem. They were serving as faithful overseers of the church. And ultimately, the injustice was their fault. It fell at their feet. They recognized that they could no longer give the proper attention and time to this task that it deserved, for it was a noble task. And for this reason, they called on the congregation to find 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit, who would take care of this task, who would care for the widows, the orphans, the foreigners, those who were in need. The second group was not called to oversee, not called to shepherd. They were called to serve, to wait tables. They were called to be ministers of mercy who tangibly, faithfully, sacrificially met the needs of the body of Christ, who cared for the lonely, for the sick, for the suffering, for the poor. Their ministry was a ministry both to the apostles and to these particular widows. These men managed the church's funds. They distributed those funds in a way that brought honor, glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Elders are shepherds who oversee the flock of Christ. But deacons are servants, servants who are called to meet the physical needs of the body of Christ. Beloved, the church needs both shepherds and servants. And when we have both shepherds and servants, I think what we gain is a greater picture of the ministry and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our Savior said that He came not to be served, but to serve. He revealed Himself as the great shepherd of the sheep. And now that Jesus has ascended to the right hand of the Father, now that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him, He leaves His church on earth with men who would shepherd the flock and serve the body of Christ in His place, who would reflect His character, His priority, His heart for the world. I think one of the most common mistakes that we can make at any point in our life is to lose sight of our priorities. There are so many good things that you and I can do that we could easily lose sight and sometimes fail to do the best things. We experience this even on a secular level. When you try to balance and manage your responsibility as you go to school and as you show up at work, what is the priority? What must be accomplished? And the same reality exists in the church. As elders of this church, our priority must be the word and prayer. Brothers, we must resist the urge to go beyond this, to do other things. We must commit ourselves to this task, faithfully proclaiming the word, guarding the doctrine of the church, and praying for the body of Christ. And you deacons, in the same way, must guard your time, must keep your priorities, to love the poor, to have eyes for the outcast, the hurting, the lonely. There are many needs that press upon us as a congregation. Roofs that have to be patched. Grounds that have to be tended. And as important as these are, these must not be the things that steal our attention, that steal our focus, that steal our creativity, that steal our passion. But rather, our hearts must moment by moment, day in and day out, be for the body of Christ, for the community in which God has placed us, for the people that are around us, to shepherd the flock and to serve the body of Christ. It's so easy to overlook these tasks, to rush beyond them, to respond to the tyranny of the urgent. But being a faithful shepherd, a faithful deacon, is to commit ourselves to a very particular task. You see within this a priority. A priority that Christ sets upon His church of both word and deed. It's interesting to me that the apostles did not simply say, the care of widow, the management of funds, it's not important. We're committing ourselves to the word and prayer. That's spiritual. That's important. They didn't simply get on with those things. They elevated the preaching of the word, prayer for God's people, and they ensured that the physical needs of the body of Christ, of those around them, were met. That these two things, from the earliest days of the church, were held forth as a priority. Doctrinal purity, gospel proclamation, and generous justice, mercy that is shown to all in an equitable, a beautiful, and a generous way. These priorities flow out of the early church. And Christ has given His officers, His church, both elders and deacons, to ensure that we are a body that loves and pursues both. The church could not abandon either the ministry of the word nor its ministry to the poor. But all of this, as we think about the role of elders and deacons, kind of draws me to the last point. While we think about the fact that elders have a very specific ministry in the church, they are called to shepherd the flock, and deacons have a very specific ministry in the church, they are called to care, meet the physical needs of the church. We need to remember that neither of them are called to do the ministry of the church. It is the congregation's job to do the ministry of the church. It is our job as the body of Christ to carry out the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations. Elders and deacons, in their own unique way, simply exist in order to equip the body, equip the saints to do the work of ministry. Godly officers do not take ministry away from other people, they give ministry to people. They shepherd the body in order that the body can go out and serve. They serve the flock in order that you as men and women, as children, could go out and use your gifts in the community. It's football season. Things didn't go so well yesterday for Ohio State. But as I think about this dynamic, I can't help but think about a football team. So often I think that we inappropriately feel like the congregation is simply the crowd sitting on the sidelines cheering for their team, hoping that their elders and deacons and officers and pastors will take the field and perform well. But a more biblical picture of this is to see that we as a congregation, as the body of Christ, are the team. And the Lord, in His wisdom, has given this team officers. He's given you elders who serve as coaches, whose job it isn't to take the field, but it's to equip the saints so that you're ready, a little more ready than the Buckeyes, to take the field and to play the game. But in the midst of the game, in the midst of the battle, in the middle of the third quarter, when a team member goes down, when an ankle is sprained, and a player is carted off, the coaches don't go into the training room. They stay on the field with the rest of the team, and there's trainers on hand to give fluids, to bind the ankle, to build up the wounds, to get the player back on the field as quickly as possible. Those are your deacons, here to serve you, to bind you, to build you up, and to get you back on the field. We, as the body of Christ, are called to ministry. You, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not simply saved by grace. You are called by grace into the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our mission as a church to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. The Lord in His mercy has given both elders and deacons to equip us to that end, that we're ready to take the field, to play ball. Elders are called to shepherd the flock. Deacons are called to serve in order that the entire body of Christ may be built up, equipped, and ready for ministry. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we do acknowledge Your wisdom in giving Your church officers men who are called to shepherd and serve. We pray even this morning for those officers, that You would strengthen us as men to be faithful to You and to be faithful to this body in all that we do. And we pray that You would strengthen us as a congregation to be bold in our witness, to be ready to leave this place even this morning and to carry out the mission that You have granted us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.